But tonight we'll talk about Besamim. It's very interesting. The Gemara, in many places, not on the sheet, mentions that there's Besamim, the order of Havdalah. There's a dispute what the correct order is. Everyone agrees, I'm pretty sure, that Bor Pre Gefen comes first, and the Havdalah, Hamad Ben Kol Shechol, Ben Ol Choshech, Ben Yisrael Amim, the language of Havdalah comes last. And the Machlokes is whether Eish should come first, Bor Mer Eish, or Besamim. And the Gemara has in a lot of places this idea that we make a bracha on Besamim, Bor Mer Eish, Besamim. And the Gemara describes what types of Besamim can be used. But the Gemara never says, why do we smell Besamim? The Gemara never says. There's no, I know I touched on this on a shiur I gave Sukkot time, in terms of why is Havdalah and Yontif Besamim, but the Gemara never says why we smell Besamim on Motzei Shabbos. And that's what I want to try to discuss tonight. There, we'll talk through hopefully three approaches in the Rishonim, and I think each one of them sheds light onto what Shabbos and Motzei Shabbos is about, what our emotions maybe ideally should be. And then at the end, we'll talk about a couple of halacha l'maisa, practical halacha issues that come up with Besamim. So why? It's not in Gemara. The notion that there is an Hashem Yisera is in the Gemara, as we'll see. It's a Gemara in Beitza, Daf Tez Zayin. The Gemara never says that the reason we smell Besamim is because of the Hashem Yisera. And as we'll see, that's one of the three approaches, and we'll try to develop that. The first approach is the Ran. The Ran is a very practical, almost mundane approach, but if we're going to be honest, it's probably the approach that resonates the most. What? The Ran. The Ran is one of the early commentaries, one of the Rishonim, and we'll tell you what he says, but it's based on another issue. The Gemara says in Source 1, Yom Tov Shechal Lihios Achar Shabbos. When you have a three-day yontif, starting with Shabbos, right? This year, I believe, Rosh Hashanah, Sukkot, everything's a three-day yontif. And I'm not sure, does it start Shabbos? It's Thursday, Friday, Shabbos. So, Shavuos is a three-dayer?
Next year.
Everybody, Lubin says we could shower?
I don't know.
Okay. three-day Shavuos. Okay. So
that's a Shabbos Sunday, Monday.
Right. So when Yom Tov falls out on Sunday, so Saturday night, Shabbos ends, you have to do Havdalah. So the Gemara has a huge machlokes. What comes first, Kiddush or Havdalah? You have to do Kiddush because now you're ushering in Yom Tov, but you have to say Havdalah because you're escorting out Shabbos. So the Gemara has eight different opinions as to what the proper formulation should be regarding Havdalah. We'll see two of them. Rav says Yakna, Yayin, Bor Per Gefen, Kiddush, Mekadesh HaShabbos, Ner, Bor Mer Hayesh, Havdalah, Hamad Mekol Shechol. Shmuel says, Yayin, Ner, Havdalah, Kiddush. And so they argue whether Havdalah should be before Kiddush or Havdalah should be after Kiddush.
You look in the Arutz,
what to do? There are eight opinions. Well, the Gemara says that a Paskin also. But what's missing from this list?
Besamim.
Beis. There should be a Beis for Besamim. And all eight formulations, I didn't want to put them all in, are all just Yayin, Kiddush, Ner, Havdalah. None of them have Besamim. So, why not? Why on a three-day Yom Tov, when Shabbos is leaving and you're bringing in Yom Tov, you have Bar Mer Eish, you have Havdalah, what happened to Besamim? So the Ran in Source 2 writes, to me, Shabbos l'chol, sheyatza mimenucha shlema l'amal gadol, tzarek hanachas nefesh b'besamim. The hardest transition throughout the year is Shabbos to weekday. Now, for us, it's maybe a little different because most of us don't work on Sundays. But Shabbos is a day where it's complete rest. It's relaxation. There's nothing to do. There's no work that's permitted. Sunday is a work day, potentially. So that's very difficult. That transition, I don't know, Shabbos is starting, he's getting close to the end. You start to get that icky feeling, especially if you got to go to work on Sunday. If you have stuff you got to do, you're going to turn on your...
It's the work thing in Israel.
In Israel, what? Right? It was the town of Bali, I guess, in you know, Bavel is a work day also. But yeah, even, you know, for many people, even turning on their phone and seeing how many emails are in the inbox and, oh my gosh, what I got to do this week, it's going to be a brutal week. That's a feeling. It's very, very difficult. It's very hard. It's there's nothing spiritual about this. Just practically, it's very difficult. So when you pick me up, and the way I pick me up is to smell something sweet, something fresh, a nice aroma that could, smelling something good, it picks us up in a significant way. So we smell besamim to give us menuchas hanefesh. But the Ran says, but mishabbos li yom tov, when you go from Shabbos to Yom Tov, harayesh bi yom tov gamkein ktsas menucha. You could do some work on Yom Tov, right? You're allowed to cook. Ochel nefesh is permitted. You're allowed to cook on Yom Tov, but you're not really working that hard. So the distinction is not so drastic. The shift is not so dramatic. So you're not so down. You know, Shabbos Yom Tov, what's the big deal? You don't need b'samim. Umi Yom Tov l'chol. So how come Motze Yom Tov you don't need b'samim? So gamkin eno yotzi minucha gemura shari tarach ba'ochel nefesh. Yom Tov is not complete relaxation because you cook. You're allowed to cook on Yom Tov. Again, I'm assuming then they didn't have the hot plates and the warming drawers and they didn't have the refrigerators. So I don't think they were cooking for Yom Tov and refrigerating it and heating it back up. They were working on Yom Tov. So from Yom Tov to Chol, it's not such a drastic, dramatic shift. You don't need that besamim. So the Ran is basically saying there's nothing spiritual about our emotional needs or the shift in our emotions on Motzei Shabbos. Just... It's a stinky time. It's tough. We're gonna work. We're down, so we smell b'samim. That's the Ran's approach. Motzei Yom Tov, you don't need it because you worked on Yom Tov. Motzei Shabbos to Yom Tov, you don't need it because you're still. It's not real menucha. It's only when you go from the extreme of menucha, full rest, to full work. So only Motzei Shabbos to weekday. That's the approach of the Ran.
That's why when you do it when you come up from Shir or something.
Why would one do it?
Because you can't do halacha when you're in Shiva, but then you're returning to the
So world. If a person's in Shiva, Motzei Shabbos, there's an Isser Malacha, so why is he using B'samim?
No, I'm saying if you get up from Shiva, why would he do B'samim to you before returning to the work? You can't do Malacha.
You're saying on a Tuesday, if Shiva ends on a Tuesday,
yeah.
Shabbos B'samim.
Yeah, when you get up
from Shiva. It's not exactly a Menucha, there's a lot of other
issues. Right, oh yeah, well, Jordan's making a good point. That even though one can't do malacha, you know, I don't think that's menucha. It's hard to say. Baruch Hashem, I've never experienced that, but I can't imagine that the lack of malacha during Shiva is a restful. It's not a restful menucha. That's a good point, Jordan. Approach number two. It's I have a hard time understanding what this really means. Tosos quotes an opinion. He says, "Don't explain this." The bodies. In Gehenna, in hell, the furnace is turned off on Shabbos. The bodies don't burn in Gehenna on Shabbos. Motzei Shabbos comes, and the oven, so to speak, is turned back on. And when bodies burn, it smells. There's a stench in the air. I don't know if you guys no one smell that? Maybe you smell people who haven't showered in 26 hours in the summer. But Toso says, Mishum Eish Gehenim Shem Maschil Lisrof Ula Hasriach. Motzei Shabbos, you need to summon. Not to elevate your soul, not elevating one's soul. There's no sadness. Very simply, it smells. It smells. Now, I think what it might mean is that it's symbolic for us to realize that, you know, well, it's not fun and games. We don't like to think like this. But there's something called Gehenim, and bodies burn. And once a week, let's have a reminder for that. So as to symbolize the fact that bodies are burning, and when bodies burn, smell bad. It smells bad. So we take this good-smelling spice to counter that. I don't think any Rishonim say it really smells. That's how I understood it. But what's interesting, you have other halachas put in place for this same reason.
You say,
the Shulchan Aruch in source 4 Noagin Lomar, source four. V'hu rachum u'barchu be'arichus noam. With this pleasant lengthliness.
Not here.
And I've been in shuls.
Quick.
One shul in Pesach. They really drag out, not the homarev, they drag out the v'hu rachum. Shulchan Aruch says, why? K'di lo hosif michol kodesh. Shabbos is kodesh. It's the holiest day of the year, holiest day of the week, holiest day of the year. So we want to lengthen it. Until you daven Marav, there's still elements of Shabbos before Baruch Hu. So let's lengthen it. We want to hold on. We want it to linger. So you want Shabbos to linger? Lengthen it B'hu Rachum. The Aruch HaShulchan in Source 5 quotes the Or Zeruah HaGadol and others who say, B'motzei Shabbos, L'achar Shomrim B'hu Rachum, Hoshia, Miad Chazen Omer Baruch Hu, B'meshech Gadol. The barchu should be very long. Why? Maybe we should put this up by the bima. Mimei shanashamos chozros legehenim la'achir mikan. Uba'ot shemosheich enam chozrin. As long as you're lengthening the barchu until, I guess, barchu ends, until that's over, so the bodies don't go back to gehenim. So we're doing a solid for every deceased person. By there was a others say others the Pisky in source 6 he quotes the Zohar says the wicked don't go to Gehenna until Jews make Abdullah. I've been trying to find this for like a week. I once read that there was a Rebbe who didn't do Abdullah until Sunday for that reason. You allowed to do Abdullah until Tuesday, maybe we'll talk about that one day. It's Bidi Abed, so I don't know, because you can't eat, you know, I'll eat before Abdullah, so they go until Tuesday. It's not practical. I couldn't find that. I texted a couple of friends who I thought maybe would know that. They had heard it. They didn't know which Rebbe, where to find it. I searched it. But the Zohar says, the Rishon, the wicked, don't go back to Gehenna until the last Jew, until a Jew says Abdullah. The Shulchan Aruch Tzor 7 says we do Vihi Noam and Vata Kadosh Ba'arichus. We do it extra long. We do it slowly, again, to delay the wicked going back to Gehenna. It's fascinating. So you have other halachas. Now, I guess this minhag never really caught on, especially in a shul that davens late, according to some people. It's 50 minutes, and there's v'yitain l'cha. So, you know, we'll be there Sunday morning shacharis if we're going to make it any longer. But that's all for this notion that the bodies are going back to Gehenna, and we want to do them a solid by delaying that as long as possible. And so much so that starts to smell. And we need to have a good smelling spice to counter that smell, which is fascinating, but hard to understand unless it's just symbolic. Questions? So,
probably it's also only the people that are in your base Kodesh, right? Because the body's only, the Shem's only vertical hand, but in
your base Kodesh. Right, so the body's only the Rasham Gemurim, but that's why Avelim stopped saying Kash after 11 months. I actually think there's a discussion about, let's say you have a Rosh HaGomer. So I remember seeing a discussion in the postgame. We should know from that. We should know from any Kaddish. But I don't think it means for one's relative. Right? Because 90% of the shul, more than that, and 95% of the shul are not in the 12-month Avelus period.
Right.
But there's every Jew that's died in the last 12 months. There are many. So we all could, not an Avelos thing, not for our relative, but for Klal Yisrael. That's approach number two. Approach number three, which one I want to focus on the most, and this is what some of you had alluded to, is the mainstream approach in the Rishonim. Again, the question was, why is there no Besamim on Saturday night, which is leading into Yom Tov? Right? There's no Yakna, Yain Kiddush Ner Abdullah, Kiddush Ner Yain Abdullah. There's no bet. There's no bays in the list. What happened to B'samim? The Rashbam writes in Source 8, U'mashe nostin ha'morayim simen le'B'samim. The reason that Amorayim do not give a letter to connote B'samim, l'fi she'ein mevarchin al B'samim b'yom tov. You don't need B'samim. Sh'arei gam b'yom tov yesh lanu neshama yaseira k'shavis. This is what JT and others were alluding to. Why do we have B'samim on a regular Saturday night? We lose our Neshama Yisera, which we'll talk about what that means in a minute. We lose our Neshama Yisera. When you lose your neshama yisera, it's difficult. So we want to, and we'll talk about why I smell in a little bit, but we want to elevate ourselves out of that depression, out of that difficulty. We had this extra beautiful neshama, and it was taken away from us, so we smell besamim. On Saturday night, which is leading into Yom Tov, we don't need it. Why not? Because on Yom Tov, you have a neshama yisera. So there's no sadness, there's no depression, you haven't lost anything. What's the difficulty with that shot? So that's Tosos' kasha. Tosos says, wait a second, if you have a neshama yisera on Yom Tov, and it leaves after Yom Tov, so how come on Motze Yom Tov, you don't have besamim? So that's the Sfas Emes, and Rav Soloveitchik had a similar idea, that the difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov, Shabbos comes every 7 days, no matter what. It's from God. So that neshama yisera is given to you. Shabbos leaves, it's gone. Yom Tov, you create. It's Mekadosh Yisrael v'Hazmanim. The Jews make the Yom Tov. We go to Beis Din. We're Mekadosh L'Chodesh. That neshama yisera, which we worked hard for, that doesn't leave. That's how they answer for the Rosh Ma'am. Tosfos has a different approach. Tosfos says, Yom Tov, no neshama yisera. So Motzei Yom Tov, do you need besamim? No. So why don't we need besamim on Motzei Shabbos leading into Yom Tov? We're losing our neshama yisera. So Tosfos says, take a look. Third line of Tosfos, source 9. Lekach nira, therefore it appears. Dibi Yom Tov, leik neshama yisera. No neshama yisera on Yom Tov. V'hachay in maskir besamim. Here, there's no mention of besamim. Mishum de simchas Yom Tov. Ve'achila. Ushasia. Moil kimo besamim. What happens on Yom Tov? You get home from shul. You're going to sit down at the table. You're going to have a nice Yom Tov meal. Maybe a little corned beef. Potato coil. A nice glass of wine. Who needs besamim? The whole reason for the besamim is a pick-me-up because of the sadness, the depression that we've lost our neshama yisera. So we don't need... We're sad. We're depressed. We're down. We need a pick-me-up, but I don't need the besamim as a pick-me-up. I have something a little better, which is a nice rib roast.
I'm sure you heard by this Friday when they make a sound that during Abdullah is jubilating or faux laughing. So that's a very happy thing.
Yeah.
They should be sad.
No, the opposite. Maybe I don't know why they do that. I've never seen that.
They smell rose water and they laugh. Like
maybe they laugh because the whole point of the besamim is to make us happy. Now, if it's fake, I don't know how much.
It's fake, but it.
Okay. Listen. Let me. Before we analyze this a little further, what exactly this neshama yisera is, the Bach has an unbelievable kasha. The Bach said, if this Tosfos is true, so let me ask you a question. On a typical Saturday night, what would make you happier? What would pick you up? Smelling the besamim? Or, I don't know, let's fire up the grill and let's have some steak. The Bach says if you have a wealthy person who has lots of meat in their house, why should he smell the besamim? Eat good meat. Eat good meat. Have a Shabbos day corned beef and a Motzei Shabbos, London broil. Okay, but for him a lot, but good. But what? Okay, maybe it's too late. Have meat. And I think the Bach missed a key word in this Tosos. What's the key word in the Tosos? Tosos doesn't just say eating and drinking. Tosos says, "Hachay in maskir b'samim two lines in the bottom mishum simchas yom tov ve'achila ushasia moel." It's not just eating and drinking. It's eating and drinking, which is spiritual eating and drinking. When you eat meat, drink wine on Yom Tov, you're fulfilling a mitzvah, simchas Yom Tov. But that's the Bach's kasha. And I saw Rav Zilberstein had a fascinating question. The din is, if you don't have besamim, you don't have to run and get it. If a person doesn't have ish, he's supposed to wait for Abdal until he gets ish. Besamim, you don't have to wait. Says Rav Zilberstein, someone doesn't have besamim. Should they find a wedding, I don't know how weddings are on Motzei Shabbos, but let's say a bar mitzvah, a bat mitzvah, a sheva brachos, and go eat at the sheva brachos. If you're going to tell me on Yom Tov you don't need besamim because the eating and the mitzvah accomplishes the same thing that the besamim accomplishes, right? And the Bach even says, if that's true, then you should have meat. So Cesar asks Cesar Zilberstein, and he leaves it as a question. He says, maybe someone who doesn't have besamim should go find the Sudas Mitzvah, because again, Tosfos says Simcha, Simcha's Yom Tov, find the Sudas Mitzvah and go. And I don't know, you're going to crash someone's Shav Brachos. I need some besamim, and can I get an extra, get some meat? Fascinating. He doesn't answer the question. He says it could be according to Tosos. It's on the flip side, on the back side. You could take a look at this later. He says maybe a person should go ahead and eat at a Sudas Chasson. But according to the Rashbam and according to Tosos, the reason we smell Besamim on a regular Saturday night is because our Neshama Yisera left. And when Neshama Yisera leaves, we're down, we're troubled. Maybe that explains like the ichi feeling on Motzei Shabbos, and the besamim picks us up. What is the Neshama Yisera? What's it for? So if you take a look on the first page in source 10, that's the Gemara. The Gemara says, Amar B'Shimon ben Lakish, Neshama Yisera nosin HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba'adam erev Shabbos. God gives us the Neshama Yisera on Friday. Ulam Motzei Shabbos notlin osahim enu. On Saturday night, God takes it away from us. Shenemar shavas vayi nafash, and there's a play on words. Kevon sheshavas, since you've rested, vay, you're sad of the nefesh, and nefesh is leaving. There's a neshama yisera, and God takes it. There's a machlokas rishonim why we have this neshama yisera. Rashi says it's for purposes of physicality. Our soul naturally does not like eating. Our soul naturally does not like resting. Our soul wants to accomplish. Our soul wants to learn, wants to be involved in spirituality. Shabbos, there's a mitzvah to rest. There's a mitzvah to eat good foods. So Rashi says God gave us, and it's counterintuitive, God gave us an extra soul, or broadened our soul, to enable us to enjoy the physicality. The Shita Mekubetzah says the opposite. He says Shabbos is a time of spirituality. It's a time to learn and to contemplate the work of Hashem. It's a time where we're able to think a little bit more, be a little introspective, contemplate life. So God gave us an extra neshama to be able to be more attuned to spirituality. But either way, that leaves, and it's hard for us. And therefore we have a neshama yisera. We have a besamim. Zilberstein has a fascinating question. I think it's very powerful. There's a sefer called the Yisod V'Shorash HaAvoda, which is one of the big, I think he preceded the Hasidic movement, but it's a lot of right Kabbalah.
Right after the beginning.
It was after, right? It was toward the beginning of the Hasidic movement? Okay. So thank you. The Yisod V'Shorash HaAvoda is quoted a lot, very powerful stuff. He writes that a person does not get an Neshama Yisera unless they go to the mikvah on Friday. This is not a Rebbe 20 years ago. He's so sure, hundreds of years ago, right? It's, I guess, late 1700s. He writes that a person does not get a Neshama Yisera unless they go to the mikvah on Friday. Okay? So ask for Zilberstein. So according to that, Yisod V'Shorash HaAvoda, we don't need besamim on Saturday. Now, if you just dismiss the Yisod V'Shorash HaAvoda, so there's nothing to talk about. But we don't want to be dismissive. So why, you know, those of us who don't go to the mikvah every Friday, why would you besam on Saturday night? Now, there's no problem to use besam. There's no bracha batala. You're smelling the spices. You're making the bracha. So Zilberstein gives two approaches, and it's amazing. There's a halacha that if you have a person who is a mishumud, someone who left Judaism, not just that he went off the derech, someone who worshipped Avodah Zarah, someone gave up his Judaism and embraced Avodah Zarah. He did tshuva. The Smak writes that he can't be buried in a Jewish cemetery unless he goes to the mikvah. So you have a person who, not someone who's Michal Shabbos, someone who did Avodah Zarah, a real mishumud, someone who gave up their Judaism and became a practicing something.
Buddhist.
He's a mishumud. He does tshuva. The Smak said, if in order for him to be buried in a Jewish cemetery, he needs to go to the mikvah, and he says, if he didn't have a chance to go to the mikvah, and he was taken by bandits, and he was killed, can't be buried in a Jewish cemetery. He did tshuva, but he didn't go to the mikvah. So says the smak, yes. So the case was that he was burned. The case was that he was burned. Says the smak, he can be buried in a Jewish cemetery, because the burning is equivalent to being tovel. It's like being tovel in fire. You can be tovel in the water, and if his whole body is consumed by fire, it's like being tovel, dipping, immersing in the fire. So says Rav Zilberstein, a person didn't go to the mikvah on Friday. I don't go to the mikvah every Friday. So he says, if a person learns, mishalomim, af ma'at, even a little bit, chashiv limudo, it's underlined, kitovel be'esh. We know fire is compared to esh. When a person learns, they're firing themselves up, they're firing up their souls. A person learns a little bit on a Friday, maybe it could be Friday night, I'm not sure. A person learns a little bit, that's the esh of Torah, and based on that smack, that's equivalent to going to the mikvah. So I guess those of us who don't go to the mikvah on Friday should try to learn a little bit. But the point is very beautiful, that learning Torah is like being tovel. There are different ways to spiritually prepare oneself for Shabbos. A person can go to the mikvah like many people do, not just Hasidim, or a person can learn. He even says, af ma'at, even a little bit. A person goes and learns a little bit on a Friday, so it's like he's being tovel, and now will have his neshamis here. Very, very interesting. His second approach is that the Gemara says God gives us the neshamis here on Friday. He says that's each individual person gets their own Neshama Yisera on Friday. But on Shabbos, there's this collective Neshama Yisera. So even if you didn't go to the mikvah on Friday and get your personal Neshama Yisera, you'll get the generic brand Neshama Yisera with the rest of the Jewish people. Now, I don't always feel that Neshama Yisera. You always feel that Neshama Yisera? So why any B'Samim? The Aruch HaShulchan says every Jew feels it. Every Jew feels it. He says, Simen Muvak Lazeh, the Kol Ish Yisrael b'Motzei Shabbos, Motzei is Asmo b'Hishtanus. Every person on Saturday night feels some change. I know I had that. And I don't know if it's because there's dishes to that. I don't know. I can't explain it. It's not always the same emotion. There is that feeling. Shabbos is ending. That I call it the Ichi feeling. I don't have a better word than that. And that's the Nisham Yisrael leaving. And we're down. And the Besamim elevates us out of that despair. And that's why we have the Besamim. The Bach's kasher is a good kasher, though. Have meat. Have steak. So there are explanations. There's something very spiritual about smell. Now, it's interesting that as Jews, we have big noses. Speak for yourself, Rabbi. Now, maybe it's because the ability to smell the Neshama Yisera. I don't know. Some say that it's because air is free.
Yeah.
You know, I've heard that one. Or so we could stick our nose in the five books of the Torah. Mm.
Some was blown into the right Adam's nose, right?
Yeah, so there is something very spiritual. You don't come in contact. Of all the senses, you don't come into contact. I was trying to do some of the research of how the nerves and the particles.
Yeah, so actually, interestingly, consciousness.
Aren't you a GI?
Yeah, but so smelling salts, right? Everyone's seen it on TV. Oh,
I was going to say, smelling salts.
Right, so when you become unconscious, you can use smelling salts to wake the person up. So they have to have enough brainstem function, basic function, that they're still breathing on their own, so they're not like dead, but they're unconscious, so their consciousness actually is not aware of their surroundings, and the smell irritates the airway. It basically causes you to breathe faster and your heart rate to go up and you wake up. So I don't know the exact comparison, but you can imagine, even if you're not unconscious physically, let's say spiritually in a way,
but
there's something to that smell that wakes you up.
Beautiful. So
I thought it was microscopic particles that are touching the touching the hairs inside your nose that sense, you know, almost, it's very similar to taste. And interestingly, when you smell something, those particles end up traveling back down your digestive tract.
When you're unconscious like that, you don't sense actual smell. It's the irritant of the ammonia and the smelling salts. So it irritates the airway and it causes you to literally wake up. Typically, smell works that way.
Interesting. So I did see one approach by...
Oh, there was one more interesting thing about the strongest memory sense beyond of touch, sight, hearing, and smell is by far the strongest. And you can test it by smelling something very profound, like smell a rose. You can remember exactly what a rose smells like.
People report they remember like a parent's, a mother's challah. Yes. I don't know, unfortunately for me, it's kids' diapers that I'm remembering.
But you can smell like a clean diaper.
No, there's something, I don't know. When you wake up Shabbos morning, you smell that challah, that scent. There's something. It's
the part of your brain that deals with smells right next to the long-term memory. That's why. So that's the exact question. So you smell something like, that's my grandmother's potato cooker. But, it's because physiologically,
you should have gotten we should have gotten an ENT to come down. I don't think the shul has an ENT, is there?
No.
But I mean, maybe there's something there. Maybe that's like.
But there is. Oh, that's the B'nai Yisachar. Jordan nailed it. The B'nai Yisachar says something really fascinating. By Adam and Chava sin, and I forgot to put the pasuk here. All the other senses are mentioned in their sin, except for the sense of smell. It's gonna take me too long to open up the pasuk. Can take a look in the psukim of the sin of Adam and Chava. Every sense is used, but not she touched, she saw, she walked. The sense of smell is not there. She listened, she heard. The sense of smell is not there. Says the B'nai Yisachar in source 15, Kol hachushim nizkarim etzel chet Adam HaRishon. All the senses are mentioned by the sin of Adam HaRishon. Ma she'ein kein, which is not the case when it comes to chush hareach lo nizkar. The sense of smell is not mentioned. Al kein, therefore, kulam nispagmu v'nisgashmu Bechet Adam Arishon, they're all nifkam, they were blemished. Nisgashmu, they're migusham, they were made into physical, they were made mundane. Masha'enkin chush areach udavar sheneshama nenes mimenu v'lo aguf. It's something that's, your body doesn't really benefit from it. There's no tangible benefit that you could really describe. Try to describe the sense of smell. It's very hard. It's very hard to do. You can't. It's all. It's neshama. Your neshama, the soul senses it because it wasn't blemished. It's the most pure. It's the purest of all the senses, and that's why he says, "Al kein zechush yunasein lemelech hamashiach v'harecho beyiras Hashem." In Yeshayahu Perek Yud Aleph, it's describing the Melech Hamashiach and what he's going to be endowed with, and it says, "V'harecho beyiras Hashem." He'll have the scent of the fear of heaven. What do you mean the scent? Because that's the most pristine, that's the purest of all senses. Ulazeh achush nikra koch hamiskayim yoser mikol hachushim. What do you mean? It's the most everlasting, long-term memory. It's there. It doesn't, other senses wither away, or the feeling changes. It didn't have benefit from the chet of Adam Rishon. All bad, all weakness, blemishes happened from that first sin, and the koach hareach, the sense of smell, came out unblemished. And that's maybe a reason why specifically we smell something as opposed to like the Sephardim, tell a good joke. They don't really do that. But tell a good joke, grill up a steak is specifically something that is pure, and maybe we can even think back to when we smell the besamim, to think back to what life could be, what life was like pre-chate, pre the sin of Adam HaRishon. So just to review, you have the Ran, which is a very practical, mundane, you're going from heavy-duty menucha to heavy-duty work. That's tough. We need a little pick-me-up. This other approach, which Tosfos rejects, I forgot which other Rishonim take this approach, and it's rooted in halacha with the lengthening of the Baruch Hu and Shulchan Aruch and the lengthening of Vihinoam and the Shulchan Aruch, because the fires go back to burn in Gehenna and they smell. There's a stench which is coming out of these bodies, so we have to counter that with a smell. Maybe I think it's symbolic to remember that, you know, Shabbos just ended. There's a week ahead of you, a week of work, a week of challenge, a week where there's going to be a lot going out there. Maybe not so bad to think a little bit of what life could be like after 120 years. And that is the approach to the Neshama Yisera. The Neshama Yisera, which we have, either for spiritual reasons or physical reasons, it's leaving us. Life is different. We have this feeling. We get the Neshama Yisera, even if we don't go to the mikvah, like Reb Zilberstein, learn a little bit. That's our tevila be'esh, is learning Torah. And that leaves, and we're sad. And I think it's something to think about when we smell the besamim. I think it's a good litmus test. I really believe this, to how our Shabbos is and how our chol is, to think through what we're thinking and what our approach is to Havdalah and Besamim. If it's first second, I'm looking at the clock until 50 minutes or whatever, well, I think most people do 50 minutes on Shabbos, 50 minutes passes so I can make Havdalah as quickly as possible and go do whatever I need to do, and a person is just smelling it. I think we're missing the point. The point is that when we smell b'samim, to stop and think for a minute, like, am I sad that Shabbos is ending? Is there any part of me that wishes we could have Shabbos 6 days a week and work one day a week, or maybe you know, 3 and 4, 2 and 5? Is there any part of me that's, you know, yeah, it's a long Shabbos day, but Shabbos to spend a little more davening, eating, singing with family. It's not, man, they can get a Shabbos job like Rabbi Malitsky, so I don't have to be home anymore. It's something to think about as we're smelling the besamim, what our relationship is with Shabbos and exiting of Shabbos. In another minute, I wanted to touch on, I know we went a little later than I wanted to, just two quick halacha issues. When you hold your besamim, what do you do with your kos?
Put it on the left hand and hold it with the right.
You put down? So, Shulchan Aruch says you should hold the wine in your right hand and the besamim in the left hand. That's the other thing. You hold the besamim in the beginning? Most people don't. The Shulchan Aruch says you should hold it in your right hand and the besamim in the left hand and make a bracha on Bar Per Geffen. Then, you take the besamim in your right hand and have the cup in your left hand when you make the besamim, to still hold the cup when you make the besamim. And the Mishnah Berurah says you have to do that. You can't put the cup down. Why? Because all of Havdalah was instituted a la kos. So, on the cup. So you're going to make part of your Havdalah, all of Havdalah is to be said a la kos. We do Kiddush a la kos. We do a lot of things a la kos. We spoke about that at the wine shir. So besamim, Havdalah is said a la kos. So while you're doing every aspect of Havdalah, you're supposed to hold the kos. Hold the cup of wine. Others say that you already made a Baruch Per Geffen. To put down the item that you made a bracha on before you drink it is inappropriate. Now, I don't do that. My father, I don't think, does that. The Aruch HaShulchan says you don't have to do that. The Aruch HaShulchan writes in Source 20, take a look later, he says, our minhag is when we take the wine in your right hand, and then when you take the besamim, you put the wine on the table. You could, you don't have to, but you could put the wine on the table and hold the besamim in one's right hand. He doesn't address those two concerns. Why doesn't one have to be worried that besamim, Havdalah, all of Havdalah, was instituted a la kos? Why isn't he worried about putting it down? I'm not sure, but those who don't hold the cup during the besamim have this Aruch HaShulchan to rely on. Aruch HaShulchan says that was the custom. Very interesting machlokas, and you see different people. It becomes a whole production because you're holding the cup and you got to put it down, and then you take the besamim, and the cup is full. And the left hand sometimes, maybe the, you know, can't dribble out of the left hand. It's a little bit weak. It starts to spill, and fine. That was one halacha issue. I thought it was interesting. The second one is a lot of people don't know this. The Mishnah Berurah writes that it's a mitzvah min ha-muvchar, it's a hiddur mitzvah to have a special besamim case. Meaning, you'll see some people, they use their cinnamon. There's a whole discussion whether cinnamon can be used for Havdalah. Let's assume yes. Or they have other cloves that maybe is on the spice rack, and we just go to the spice rack, take it out, make the bracha, and smell it. So while that's certainly halachically appropriate, the Mishnah Berurah is clear, there's nothing wrong with that. He says that it's a mitzvah min hamuvchar to have a special kli, a special vessel to hold the besamim. I think the reason is you're doing a mitzvah. There's a mitzvah to just go to the cabinet and take the same cinnamon that the day before was used on a cake. So, yeah, it's not a problem because you're just smelling something good. But if it's part of a mitzvah, part of the routine, the Mishnah Berurah says is a hit or mitzvah. You know, if people thought that was just started, so you know, those who have silver stores can sell nice, and some people collect different besamim boxes. But there is an inyan in that we're taking something special for the mitzvah.
Even on Pesach, probably most people use the spices of Pesach.